Well, it was a quick 2 days in Austin, Texas, but a long 2 days, especially the second game. But the first game made the whole experience worthwhile. Of course, I'm talking about the baseball team, which was in need of a conference tournament championship just to extend its season. When that unlikely event occurred, they were expecting the fourth seed. This is something that you might have missed from the whole selection show, because I was there with the team at North 30 Sports Bar there close to campus. And that is, any time a regional was being announced and the Bulls didn't find their name until the second half of the bracket, the team was anticipating hearing its name in the second line. In other words, they knew they were going to be a fourth seed, and those don't ordinarily advance. It's only happened a half dozen time in NCAA Division I tournament history, and of course, as we all know, the Bulls made history by beating the Gators and the Hurricanes and eventually South Alabama. Team that's been to the College World Series now will be going for the 37th time, more than anybody else in history. The Texas Longhorns had the best ERA in the country. Certainly we saw why Ty Madden is going to be a first-round pick, maybe a top-10 pick. And the Bulls didn't get completely blown away by him. They had their base runners, but not enough conversions, obviously, and they had nothing doing on the scoreboard until the ninth inning, a memorable one if there ever was. Now, it should also be noted that the Bulls got four solid innings from Jack Jasiak, kept the Bulls in the game. Texas had a run in the first inning, couple more in scoring position with one out, kept it there. Texas scored again in the second and got one run in two innings off of Joe Sanchez. Relief worker Brad Lord was outstanding, I thought anyway, and again, kept the Bulls in the game, but you were just hoping they'd get something going, and finally they did. Tanner Witt, who is a freshman, a 6'5 closer. They have two closers, really. He looked like it, as the Bulls didn't get anything for him. They actually chased Madden in the seventh inning, but Witt looked like he was not going to have any problems. So here's how the first run came across. It, in its own right, was wild.
Bulls with just three hits in this game. Texas only has five. It has been a crisply played game, well pitched.
Yeah, it's been a great experience. This is kind of what I pictured it being like, but to be able to soak it in is great. Now, obviously the Bulls aren't thinking that way. They want to get the result, but I think a lot of positives in this game, and I wouldn't count this team out yet, not in this game and not in this series.
Daniel Cantu to lead it off. He has singled and struck out twice, 1-for-3. First pitch, pop foul left side. That'll reach the seats, and it's 0-1.
No one even warming for Texas. Tanner Witt looking like he's going to be in line for a sixth save.
0-1 on Cantu. Fly ball hit pretty well toward left center field. Kennedy and Antonico both going back, and that ball is, I believe that's out of here. I think he got it over the wall. It is a home run for Cantu. Nobody was quite sure if Antico had caught that ball in left center field.
Two things I was going to say. Just came off a three-inning outing where he actually did give up two runs and a homer to Arizona State. Secondly, they put up great catch on the board out there. That's why you heard the reaction from the crowd.
I mean, there's no need for us to apologize for not being sure if it was a home run right away, because there were 7,000 people in the stands that felt the same exact way. Yeah. 7,000 people in the stands. Let me tell you, Texas, they treat their baseball like Alabama treats its football. In every way, I mean that. They think they're better than you. We heard a lot of not-so-nice things being said to our players and even to some of our staff. Videographer Cody Hilburn said he's never heard anything like it. So Texas fans are loud, and they come out in force, but yeah, not all of them are nice, and so the Bulls are having to endure that. So with that as the backdrop, if you hear them booing when Drew Brutcher might say something back to them after hitting the biggest home run in USF history, don't get so sensitive, Texas fans. Oh yeah, did you hear about Drew Brutcher? He did some things. Here's how it all went down. The next two batters were retired by Witt, but Jarrett Eaton got it going, and then the moment that you could hear me in the background kind of predicting the whole way through took place, and it was a moment, the moment maybe in all of USF baseball history. Here's how it sounded with Jim Lauck and yours truly on the call.
One ball, no strikes on the Bulls left fielder. Two outs, bases empty, 3-1 Texas. fouled off into the net down the left side, 1-1.
Oh, that's the fastball that Jarrett was hoping for, and he was just late on it.
Low and away, 2-1. If Eaton reaches, Drew Brutcher would come to the plate as the tying run potentially. 2-1 on Eaton. Fly ball hit pretty well toward right center field. That's going to find some green. It's up against the wall. Eaton's going to pull into second with a stand-up double, and the Bulls are going to bring the potential tying run to the plate with two outs in the ninth.
You know, you'd think maybe Texas would have a lefty up there, but they're hanging with the righty freshman, and they don't have anyone warm, and that's about to change, and this is exciting.
Brutcher has had three at-bats since April 17th. A long fly out in Gainesville, a base hit in Gainesville, and a walk earlier tonight. He comes up now with two outs, Eaton on second.
Do they kind of pitch around him again, even though he's the tying run?
Gonzalez is on deck. First pitch inside, 1-0. After sailing through the eighth, Witt has allowed a home run and a double here in the ninth. One ball, no strikes to Brutcher. Eaton at second, 3-1 Texas. That's low, 2-0. You can hear the crowd reaction.
I can't be any more impressed with Drew Brutcher right now.
Well, that's what he did from the very beginning of this year, a tremendous eye. He really knows the strike zone. Taking, and that's on the inside corner, 2-1. Now, remember, Brutcher has 7 home runs this year. They all came early. Tried to play through his injury, didn't have much power, and then was out for almost 2 months. Check swing, and it's foul down the first baseline, just out of the reach of Zach Zubia, and it's 2-2, a soft little line drive that Zubia couldn't quite catch up with. And now it's 2-2 on Brutcher.
Bad news is, yeah, it's one strike away, but that would have been a bad way for the game to end. And again, he is keeping it off speed to Brutcher.
Eaton at second. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Brutcher. 3-1 Texas in the ninth. Witt is set. The 2-2. Outside, 3-2.
That is a ring him up or a swing and miss in most cases. But again, Brutcher. Just a veteran presence at the mound right now. Or at the home plate, sorry.
It's full, 3-2. Eaton with the lead off second. Witt to the plate. Fly ball hit pretty well toward right. Fair or foul? It's got home run distance. It's gone. Drew Brutcher has tied the game in the ninth. A 2-run homer. Bulls 3, Texas 3. Brutcher pulls it over the right field wall. The only question was fair or foul, and it was fair. His 8th home run of the season. RBIs 16 and 17, and Brutcher hits his first homer, knocks in his first run since April. Game tied.
That was that curveball. And you want to talk about adjustments. He absolutely waited and unloaded. And boy, oh boy, they're not saying Zoo or Drew, they're booing. Oh, it was amazing, just amazing. And then, of course, at the time, you're not looking these little factoids up, but I took time the next day to do so, and that is, had the Longhorns actually blown a 9th-inning lead at all? No, they had not. Now, on the other side, they had blown 5 combined leads between the 7th and the 8th inning, and all 5 times they scored the next at-bat, and all 5 times they won. And as you know, they would come back the next at-bat to their full credit, the Longhorns. A 2-out error, the first 2 get on. Nick Gonzalez throws away a slow roller to short, and then Eric Kennedy, the kid from Calvary Christian, drills a ball deep to center field. Roberto Pena had a tough night in the outfield,
had him played not deep enough, and it just got over his head, and the Longhorns walked it off. But what Rutscher did, and of course on Twitter, as the Bulls fans were putting out videos of that amazing home run, you'd had Texas fans coming back with, well, it didn't mean anything. That's hilarious. Those fans were nervous. You heard their reactions. I just told you the meaning. They hadn't blown a ninth inning lead all year. It's not like their strategy this season was to blow ninth inning leads because it's not going to matter when it happens and we'll win in the bottom of the ninth. That had never happened all year, so it had plenty of meaning. Trust me. But the whole situation of Texas being able to answer back when it falls behind really played out in Game 2 on Sunday night. Drew Brutscher, top of the order in the starting lineup. He would score on this hit as the Bulls were batting in the bottom half of the innings as the home team.
0-1 delivery, and it's drilled to left center field, and it's going to drop in for a base hit. Brutscher is going to score. There's going to be a play at third. Two runs scored. They are going to have eaten maybe in a rundown. They do. And a run could, the third run could score for the Bulls. They're going to go home with it, and they're going to make the play at home. They're going to get Sullivan, but it is a two RBI single for Jared Eaton.
That came off a pitcher, Tristan Stevens, who had combined his last two games, given up one run total, and had gone seven innings in each. The Bulls offense did their job. On Sunday night, they put up four runs against a team that average allows less than three per game. But unfortunately, Texas also offensively not only answered right back with four runs in the top of the second inning, but did what it had done all year long, which is walk a lot. And it's not home cooking. It is just solid at-bats, fouling off a ton of two-strike pitches, frustrating the pitchers, and that's what they did, especially the kid from Gaither. Cam Williams, you look at his box score, he was 1-for-2. He also walked four times, including the one that started their immediate answer back. The crowd played a part in the tying hit, which was really not a hit. It was a misplayed ball, miscommunication in right field. And again, I think the loud crowd had everything to do with it. Williams, by the way, in his fifth at bat, was headed for another walk, possibly, but instead hit a two-run homer. We'll put all the highlights from that game on the Unlimited Unloaded page on Wednesday afternoon. That's on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts. Just type USF. We're not going to play all the highlights of a 12-4 loss here. 12 walks issued by the Bulls. The, I guess, best example came from Logan Lyle. They had two lefties in their lineup, and he entered in that spot, the 9 spot and the 1 spot, and he walked both of those guys. It was great to see head coach Billy Moll get all of his veteran pitchers. Unfortunately, Colin Sullivan struggled. Couldn't make it out of the second inning. Orion Kirkring walked 5. Definitely unlike him. Lyle got in. Dylan Burns pitched. Baron Stewart, one of two spotless innings turned in by the Bulls pitchers, the latter being by Joseph Sanchez, one of the many stars for the team during this postseason run that came to an end on Sunday night. But thank you guys for the experience. I've already seen some of the veterans like Lyle and catcher captain Jake Sullivan. What a performance he put in throughout his career. Essentially saying their goodbyes to the program, but we'll be fans of theirs forever and fans of this team forever, no doubt. You'll have plenty of chances to hear that game. We've been replaying the Texas games all week long. We'll continue again on Bulls Unlimited 2 to post some of the year's best action. That's going to do it for Bulls Beat. Thank you for checking us out. We'll be back on Friday. I'm Derek Sharp.